All right, boys and girls, we're going to get started here in a couple minutes. All right. Let's get going. So it's been a wild week, an absolutely wild week. And I think that I am in an interesting position giving this fireside because in the aftermath of the Brave leaks, I think that my job is a lot easier. I think my job is a lot easier. And the reason why I say that is that as the leader of Goonswarm and doing the Imperium defensive war thing, I am often in a difficult position where you guys essentially have to take what I say and trust it. And hope that I am a better person and not the kind of leader that you see over on the legacy side of the aisle. So if you go back for the last five, six, however many firesides, you have heard me say things like, we know that legacy is running out of ISK. We know that there is tremendous infighting. We know that various alliances are on the verge of cascade. And I can herf all of those blurfs every week. And in my heart of hearts, I know that that is nowhere near as powerful as you guys being able to read for yourselves Legacy's highest, at least at the Brave level, their leadership, fighting amongst themselves, acknowledging the very facts that I have been telling you and hoping that you would take on faith, because I couldn't, none of these things were public until the leaks began. But it's a lot easier for me now that there is a Brave whistleblower, now that somebody in Brave has gone Edward Snowden. Now, when I say, hey guys, it looks like Shattered Armor has hijacked these guys. I think they are out of ISK. I think the MNC failure cascades that are in progress from Fed Up, from Risata Regnum, from Warped Intentions. I had told you guys on a fireside that I thought that those were making an impact, right? But how would you know? How would you know? Because from our perspective, what are these MNC alliances? Why do they matter? Why does Fed Up imploding matter? Why does Risata imploding matter? Why does Warped Intentions imploding matter? Well, now you know because you have read Dunk Dinkle and all these other motherfuckers talking about how, from their perspective, from their side, independent of any fireside herf, any blurf, any of my Spin Master 5000, whatever bullshit, you can see for yourselves everything that I have been saying for months now is absolutely true in terms of the legacy disposition. That does not mean that we are not taking losses. It does not mean that we are not getting kicked in the balls periodically. It doesn't mean that we don't have shitloads more work to do. And that's going to be some of the things we're going to be talking about today. There's a lot more work to do, and there's a lot of things that we are doing and we are going to be doing more and more of. But it is a relief from my perspective as the alliance leader and the coalition dude or whatever, to be able to say, look, guys, for months, I have been telling you their finances are dire. For months, I have been telling you that the little dominoes falling at the edges of legacy are making an impact. And now you know it. You watch them talk amongst themselves about the impact. You can see the fear for them yourselves. You can see their financial situation for yourselves. You no longer have to take it on faith or trust me about any of that shit. There is evidence in public. So that's a big relief from my perspective because it just makes my job a shitload easier. So, what are we going to do about that? And what do I want to highlight? I want you guys to remember that a lot can change in a week. I want you guys to remember that any given day that happens, and this can be good and this can be bad. There are good days and there are bad days, but a lot can change in a week. And we saw this. Legacy finally sprung leaks. And then Fed Up sprung leaks. There was a we're going to be going into more detail on this in the meta show, but one of the things that is a challenge is we in the Imperium are very high profile. All of us. And that means that because the entire galaxy is attacking us, that means that anything that we do is under intense scrutiny by all parties. And that's fine. One of the net effects of that scrutiny, whether we are at war or whether we are at peace, is that this organization is fundamentally more accountable to our line members than our enemies in smaller organizations that are less accountable, simply because everyone is watching everything that we do. So you can finally now see, I think, by directly comparing what you're seeing coming out of the communications from the FedUp leaks, you can see, I think the FedUp ones are interesting because they show that the culture issues that you see in Brave are not unique to Brave. You can read for yourselves the communications from the FedUp XO. You can read the Brave leaks. And what you see in general is what I would call essentially a culture of dishonesty across the board in Legacy from the very top. And I don't think that the line members are responsible for this because they have been very clearly, and now there is proof of this, they have been kept in the dark about this. If we tried to lie to you guys in the way that these guys are lying to their line members, it would be incredibly obvious. Right. Like, there, you know, I can't just get up here and talk mad shit about random things, because when I'm wrong about something, it is immediately rammed in everybody's faces. As an example, earlier in the war, there was a time when I got some bad intel that suggested that NSH was leaving. And I got up here on a fireside and I said that NSH is like planning on leaving or whatever. And probably because I was a dumbass and said it in public on a fireside, they probably said, fuck you, we're not going anywhere. But that was an example of me saying something that did not pan out. And immediately there was a reaction. And then I had to come up the next week and say, hey, this is what it was. So it's not like the war is going anywhere anytime soon. It's not like this changes the strategic fundamentals, but actually it does change the strategic fundamentals drastically. let me talk about that for a moment. Here's why it changes the fundamentals. When you are in a defensive war, there is a big difference between knowing that some of your enemies are running out of ISK and feel like they are losing and feel like they are trapped and feel like they are on the verge of a cascade. There's a huge difference between knowing that and guessing that based upon your best available intelligence, right? There's a difference between knowing that there are weapons of mass destruction, or maybe you think there are. A little Iraq war joke there, but regardless of that, that is a good illustration of that. And now we know that these guys are exhausted, miserable, and see no path to victory. And because we know that, and we're the ones on D, that is everything, because now we can watch the dominoes begin to fall, and we also know where to more effectively put pressure at the tactical and strategic level on our enemies, on the weak links, as they begin to bleed out more. So from that perspective, it is a significant difference, because now you don't have to trust me. You don't have to like me. You can just read what the bad guys are saying to their line members and what they are saying internally and connect the dots yourselves. So that's kind of a big deal. I am very happy about that. But there is more work to be done. I'm about to ask a lot of you guys to work even harder. Instead of saying this war is tough and we just have to, you know, whatever, some sort of thing, the way out is more struggle. It's not going to be easy, but we do have a plan. I'm going to tell you some of those things right now, but not in too much detail, because we have realized that our enemies do listen to this fireside and essentially say, take everything I say as gospel. So definitely no future plan zone. But here is what I have seen. Here's what I really liked about yesterday. After M2, we saw a lot of situations where we wondered whether the enemy was going to break or whether they were going to try to get their shit out. They eventually did try to get their shit out. They got a bunch of their shit out. We still have 131 of their Titans trapped. That's all well and good. But after a certain point, they got back on the wagon and they said, okay, we lost a lot of shit, and now we're just going to get back out there and start shooting things. Well, we are doing the same. The Irregulars Project, and I'm not going to go into too many details about this because, again, if you are part of the Irregulars Project, you can see that things are happening. We've been contacted by a number of corporations. If you are interested in fighting back at a smaller scale level outside of Mainfleet, because this is another thing, you can go on Mainfleet and we want people to keep going on Mainfleet. So we do not want the Irregulars Project to detract from that. But what I saw yesterday was across the board, we were resisting in Euro time, in US time, in AUTZ. Instead of just letting bad guys do things, we were out there shooting those motherfuckers, dragging them through the mud, not just at the main fleet level, but we were also doing it at the Irregulars level. I talked about this last week, there has been a tremendous amount of progress on this in just the last several days. And there's a lot of value to be had there. So again, if you are interested in having your corporation do something, if you are not already linked into this project, please do ask your corp leadership about it. And if they are interested, they can get in touch with me and I will find a place for them and we can go from there. So, I need to make sure that I'm not revealing too much here. Let me check some of my other Java channel. The way this works, guys, is when I'm running my mouth, if I get too close to the edge of talking about things I'm not supposed to, I will get yelled at by the directors live. So periodically when I'm pausing, I'm like, did I say too much? Or wait. All right, good. Okay. I want to talk about why we're fighting, and I want to talk about the struggle. And I want to talk not just about the struggle and how it's hard, but how we are fundamentally engaged in a different project than the project that our enemies are engaged in. If our enemies win this war, if we break, if we falter, if we give up, if we stop trying, if we just all break apart and run to Empire like a bunch of little bitches, then our enemies will have achieved a 3-1 victory, which took them 8 months, and who cares, right? Like, their victory condition is not a noble one. Their victory condition is not an exciting one. Their victory condition is fucking stupid because they decided that they were going to let their coalition get led around by pro-god legend and Vili and hitch themselves to the horse of there are no goons, goodbye. It is very clear that the enemy expected us to fall apart inside of 3 months, because I believe genuinely that for all of the fancy, complicated theories to explain who the enemy is and what they thought that we were, I believe that PASPI went to war with their Reddit idea, their Slack, their illusion, their Omeka Gold version of the Imperium. They believed what they posted about, essentially, on REVE, and that is who they went to war on. So if they win, if they beat us, if they do all this stuff, congratulations. 3-1 odds, took you 8 months, whatever. But they're not going to win. They're not going to win. We're going to win this thing. And here's why. It's not that the odds are great. The odds are much better than they were before, that's for sure, especially now that we know that Legacy is imploding. But we're going to win this thing because, for us, if we win, and we will, this is now the greatest fuckfest of a war, one of the most difficult struggles that has yet happened in the history of internet gaming. And it's weird to be in this position saying this, because we are now at a point, there are so many eyeballs on us, that I can say literally that history books will be written about this, and grad students will be writing dissertations about our victory in this war, because it's the literal fucking truth. Because there are now a bunch of fucking academics who study what we do. There are history books that are written about what we do. And what we are on the cusp of achieving here, and when I say cusp, I don't mean in terms of next week or the week after that, but the win against the entire fucking galaxy is one of the most Iron Man impossible, difficult, badass fucking things that has ever happened in gaming. There has never been a war like this. There has never been a struggle like this. They thought that you would be dead and broken in 3 months. They thought that we would lose 30% of our members the moment that Delve was hit. So when you are out there and you hear us asking for one op more to keep the struggle going, to join the irregulars, to get out there and fucking fight, keep in mind that you are fighting for a much greater prize than all these other motherfuckers who are trying to kill you. They want to coward win, Glass, Delve, and destroy Goonswarm and destroy the Imperium. Their victory is one of a coward's. But our victory is a glorious thing. A glorious thing that has never happened on this scale. This is now beyond the Great War. So I want you to know, when things get tough, when you're in the trenches and it looks dire, when you're going, shit, we're losing citadels, we're losing IHUBs, which is something we have been doing consistently this entire war because of the balance between offense and defense, and we can talk about this. You guys know the fucking story, but I want your eyes on the prize. We are fighting the entire galaxy. And when we win this thing, we will have beaten and defeated the entire galaxy. Our win condition matters far more. Our struggle matters far more because we are fighting the entire galaxy while our enemy is just trying to do an easy gang up and blob us. Nothing. Their victory would be ashes. Our victory is everything. And that is one of the main reasons why we're going to win this thing. Herf blurf aside, it's a lot easier to see it through to that conclusion when you see your enemies starting to collapse on each other and fight amongst themselves and point fingers, and you can read the leaks to prove that we are getting somewhere. All right, let me take a sip of water. I herfed so many blurfs, I gave myself a dry mouth there. Bear with. So I want you guys to realize the scale of this and why it matters and why we keep digging in. We are so committed to this war because what we see on the future, in the horizon on the future, is a glorious future. It is a future worth fighting for. It is a future that says the entire galaxy can come against the Imperium and we will still be here. We will not give up. We will keep fighting no matter what, because what we are fighting for is a victory against the entirety of Eve, which has never been done before. No one has pulled off what we are in the process of pulling off. And I need you to grit your teeth and make sure that when you are seeing your brothers and your sisters in the fucking trenches and they're wondering, what do we do? What we do is we fucking fight. If there is shit that is in Delve that could be hacked, we will hack it. If there are ways that we can organize our regular forces, we are already doing that. We're going there. This is what we're doing. This is why we're fighting. This is why your struggles over the last 8 fucking months matter. It is not just about surviving. It is not just about preserving Goonswarm. It is about pulling off the greatest struggle against the worst possible odds in the history of fucking video games. So far, there will presumably be greater conflicts in the later history of the internet, but right now, this is the big one, guys. Okay, so let's talk about the silver ticket. I want to talk more about the irregulars, because if you're a part of the irregulars groups, you've noticed that that has been a tremendous focus of mine for the last week, but the less I say about it, the better. So I want to talk about the M2 situation and the silver ticket. So keep in mind, the enemy wants you to forget. 131 Titans are still trapped in M2. And while they are trapped there, that puts a marker on the table where a likely next supercap fight will start. And at the very least, it provides a tremendous amount of predictability in the strategic picture. But what we have seen is something that I suspected would happen after most of the legacy leadership got their shit out during their main breakout, which is, because the leadership of PASPI has primarily gotten their shit out, I expect that many of the people who are still trapped in M2 are beginning to realize that their leaders are liars and that they have been abandoned and forgotten and neglected. I think that is a fair statement, because in any of the leaks that you're seeing that have sprung from Brave, you don't see any discussions of how do we... I think Brave doesn't really have that much trapped anymore, so maybe that's not fair. But we certainly haven't seen, hey guys, we've got this. We have seen a uptick in deaths of despair from those that are trapped in M2. So what I want you guys to do when you are in M2, obviously the people that are logged off there won't see it, but in general, when you are encountering PASPI, not only do I want you to troll the fuck out of these fucking coward puppies, nowhere Mr. Nicekin, while you're trolling the fuck out of these coward puppies, advertise the silver ticket. We have ISK. We are delighted to buy the Titans out from under the people that are trapped in M2. We will cut a deal with them. They can get in touch with our finance team or get in touch with any of our diplos. Actually, seriously, you can just have them in the show info for Goonswarm. There's a roster of our diplomats. You can just point them there, and we will make it such that they can log on their Titan, get out of it, we will take it, and then we will give them a shitload of ISK. I mean, not the full value of their Titan, but we want the Titan. We actually want to get silver ticket takers because we would love to have their fucking Titans. If their leaders will not take care of them, we will take care of them for the price of their Titan at a reasonable discount. All right. So, let me go ahead and see here. So I want to take some questions from people because, again, it has been a crazy week. This is Maximum EVE Online. And again, guys, now that you are seeing, I think one of the things we're going to be talking about on... there's a question about Red Alliance. So there was... Let me get in front of this one. There is a big drama in Red Alliance last night. As you guys know, our policy when it comes to all things Russian is always, number one, never piss off the Russians. So when there are internal struggles like this, we sort of step back and we don't take sides and we let nature sort itself out. The last thing that you want to do is get between a bunch of Russians who are pissed off at each other, which is a lesson that we have learned that our enemies continue to forget. So that is a thing that happened. I don't want to say anything else in public about it because of what I just said. Yeah, there you go. I know that some of the corporations that have left Red Alliance are already finding new homes in Siberian squads, so I don't want to say anything more about that, but obviously we want to make sure that people that want to fight alongside us and continue in this war have every opportunity to find good homes. Do I think that Pappy is going to wait for the M2 Sinojammer to try to get the rest of their shit out? I don't know. I mean, that's it's an interesting question. It's not one that I can necessarily answer effectively on a fireside, because if I say that they're going to wait until they get the Sinojammer online, then suddenly our guys stop guarding it, and then that inspires another breakout. I don't think a Sinojammer is necessary for them to do a breakout. They just have to decide whether they're willing to sacrifice us another Dreadnought fleet. We know that if they put a Dreadnought on the table for every bubble that we have on the table, that they can sacrifice their Dreadnoughts and get their shit out. And I'm cool with that. Right, the whole point of M2 is to hold these guys down, to demoralize their most invested pilots, their Titan, their Alexander's companions, their Praetorian Guard, their most invested, their most committed, those that have drunk the most Kool-Aid are those that we have had trapped in M2, right? And so those are their fucking Titan pilots, and they have been put in a state of learned helplessness increasingly over the last month, so that's cool. Questions about how we distribute Titans or Supercarriers in terms of selling to the membership at a discount, stuff like that. What will probably happen is silver ticket takers are going to go into our Titan reimbursement pool. I don't want to commit to the details about this because once this gets going, it's something that the finance team will figure out in finance team ways, which I do not understand. I am a simpleton. So basically, like, once we get that going, I'm sure that the finance guys will figure their shit out and tell us what's the optimal thing. All right, here are questions about iHubs. And I want you guys to remember this right from the very start of this war. We are always playing a game of iHub hockey. iHub contests are severely balanced against the defender, which is why when an iHub is in Delve that is hostile, we need to continually be hacking the shit at every opportunity of everything that the bad guys put down, but particularly their hubs, because we know that when we hack their hubs, we can put them on defense. When they hack our hubs, we're on defense and we're at more of a disadvantage. So essentially, one of the things I need people to get around in their heads is, yes, The balance in our forces is much better than it was back in June 2020. We are successfully beginning to wear these guys down to the point that regularly it's like 1.25 and 1.5 to 1. However, when the enemy calls a max HRF CTA, it can be very difficult for us to save every iHub because of the balance of iHub stuff. So when we lose iHubs, what do? When we lose iHubs, we hack them back, we put the enemy on defensive, and then we play iHub hockey, which is what we were doing successfully before M2. Is it a perfect process? No. Will there be loss? Yes. Has that changed from before M2? No. Are things going better in our favor than they were before M2? Yes, because now we know the enemy is on the verge of bankruptcy, and we see that their participation is going down. Is this going to be easy? No. Are we going to stop getting kicked in the dick in Delph while our allies and our irregulars are burning everybody else's shit down? We're still going to get kicked in the dick. This is a fucking hell war against impossible odds. There will be iHub losses. There will be Citadel losses. We are trying to fight that. We are trying to get our balance of forces at a point where that burn rate goes down. We are not there yet. We must continue to fight. We must continue to fight more effectively. We must better organize our forces to enable that. But I'm not going to tell you that we're going to be able to save every fucking iHub, because I have never told you that we're going to be able to save every iHub. I have always, very consistently, from the start, warned everyone about the risk that offense is the iHub contests are biased in favor of offense. So when they blow up on the bars, we fucking hack the thing, and then we go on offense and we put them on defense. That's how we burn these things out. All right, let's take some more questions. Did FRT move their Titans out? Here's what we have seen in terms of Titans and Supers leaving the theater. A couple of interesting examples. We did see some movements from FRT. We saw their Wicked, WC English speaking group go. More recently, we saw Fire Coalition. This was also in this very busy last week. Fire Coalition took their Titans and their Supers back to Wicked Creek. Now, what's interesting is we are seeing sort of these half moves from the enemy. When I say half moves, I mean that nobody wants to admit that they went out of the war. On any side, you see Dunk Dinkle and those guys keeping that fact a secret. They don't want to admit it because they don't. Whoever leaves first from the PASPI side is most likely going to get blamed for this shit, right? Or at least they're afraid they're going to get blamed for it. So what you saw with Fire Coalition is they took their Titans and their Supers back to Wicked Creek, where Volta was attacking them. But because they left their subs in T5ZI, again, this is the fence straddling thing, they want to send some forces home, but they want to claim that they're still completely committed to Delve. You saw all the Delve nonsense from the Fed Up leaks, where these guys are saying, oh, we're really committed to Delve, when, you know, whatever, Fed Up. But then what happened is very interesting. Because the primary super capital umbrella of PASPI in general is still trapped in M2, right? These groups, either they're in M2 or they're in T5ZI, but they're not at home. So what you're seeing is these groups like Volta and what have you are finally getting their revenge on the PASPI backfield, which used to just be able to drop their Titans and Supers on them. If they don't move their subcaps back, they are not going to be able to win iHub contests in their home regions. So I think it's interesting. I don't think it's always going to be this way, but the fact that Fire moved Titans and Supers back and failed to move their subs back is the reason why they do not have the iHub in their staging system right now. Will we ever have another fight like M2 anytime soon? I think we are gearing up for another supercap fight of some kind. My gut tells me that there is going to be some pretty heavy action. I don't want to say soon and then not have it, but we have not had a big tie-dye fuckfest, a proper one, besides the, you know, we've had Fozzy Soft fights, but we haven't had a big capital slap fight since M2. And I think that there will be one soon, and I want people prepared for that, because super capital fights are one of the areas where we have a massive advantage. We typically have won these things regardless of great cost. Doesn't mean we're always going to win these things. But again, consistently, ever since June of 2020, I've been telling you guys that, actually, I'm not sure what they're talking about in June. We learned about we announced the war was coming before Villian Lim announced it. But what we've been saying is that we believe that we can win the supercap fights. We thus far have won the supercap fights. We believed after there would be a supercap fight that we would have a hell camp I've also said that much on Firesides, and there was. And I think that there will be more. And I think that's good, because I think that, you know, our goal is to punish these fucking people, to fucking punish them at every opportunity we can. All right, we have some future plans questions. This is actually a reasonable one. Questions about, like, Horde and NC remaining in Delve long term. They don't have resource reserves similar to ours. Like, they are not nearly as wealthy as we are. And there is, actually, I don't want to talk about things that are happening in their backfields, because that would definitely be future plans. Certainly, we are very well aware of the distinction between PanFam and Legacy. And while we are highlighting Legacy having all these issues, you're not hearing me saying, oh my God, PanFam. What is interesting is that in terms of the balance of these forces, the Legacy groups are the ones who are filling tons of bodies and fleets. On the PanFam side, that's mainly Horde. But as Legacy continues to, each domino falls, more of them run for the hills. And that is really where we are seeing the balance of forces come much more into a defensible parity, where we start getting more wins. That is good. Oh, one thing I want people to be aware of is we think that there is this metaliminal storm, the electrical metaliminal storm that is headed into T5ZI. Which prevents cloaking. That is most likely going to, after it's in T5ZI, I want you guys to not be surprised by this, or, oh my God, run for the hills, or whatever. But these things follow a logical path, and so we expect to see that in 1DQ1 at some point. So just put a marker on that. Don't freak out when that happens. All righty. Do I love you like I love my fish? I love you guys more than the fish. Because the one fish that I my heart reached out to ripped off a bunch of faces and then died of his wounds. So I care far more about all of you than I do about the fish that are not Pete. I do love it when you guys rip faces off, and there's going to be a lot more of that. How hard did I laugh when I read Shattered Armor's last military morale post? You know, it's tough because I just, oh God, it's so bad. He did the whole to the moon thing. The Brave thing, I knew Brave was in dire straits. I didn't realize how bad it was, and I didn't realize that Dunk had basically let the Shattered Armor guy take over Brave and run Brave and not stand up to him, because one of the most important things an Alliance leader does as an Alliance leader is knowing when to stand up to people that are trying to grab the wheel. And Shattered Armor is like a D-team shit-tier FC who has been just the big test bootlicker over there. And it was shocking to me when I read the Brave leaks to see that none of them had the balls to just put that motherfucker in his place. And that kind of tells me everything about the weakness of the leadership over there and why their plans are so shit and why their finances are so shit, right? It sort of reveals a lot all the way around. All right, let me see if there's more questions, and then I'm going to have to go for the meta show. Is that Morgan Freeman at the intro of the meta show? Nope, it's a Fiverr guy who apparently sounds just like him. We are going to be going into a lot of the details of analyzing the Legacy alliances in that situation on the meta show today. But what I want to end things with here, guys, is essentially a... I can't talk about that thing we're doing. So there's a bunch of shit we're going to be showing the Kremlin, and there's a bunch of shit that we are going to be revealing to people, not on the Fireside, that relates to the Irregulars Project. If you are interested in the Irregulars Project, please let your corp leadership know. We are very much arming the Contras, and we are... I've been really happy with how, like, you can kind of tell when an organization takes off. It starts right from the beginning. And with both the Aquarius Georges and the Afghanistanis, it's been going great. So we're going to pour more resources, more organization, and more oomph into that. Question about what is the Kremlin? The Kremlin is kind of like the Illuminati, is like our director channel. Kremlin is a big channel that has corp directors, alliance subdirectors, and corp CEOs all in it together. So in order to manage an organization as large as Goonswarm, you have to have these multiple layers to get word out to the line and reach out to people, especially when you're doing things organized at more of an irregular guerrilla sort of way. There have been comms issues between irregular fleets defending the same objective. Are there any plans to address those? Yes, absolutely. That is something that was one of the biggest aims of the project, is getting the commands. I'm actually not going to talk about this. I was about to explain all the things we're doing on a fucking fireside with all of 1,100 people watching. But yes, it is something that one of the main reasons why we're doing what we're doing is to stop that. And that's one of the reasons why yesterday was such a good day in my eyes, because you started seeing fighting in Aquarius that began that the Aquarius Georges were doing things in and around a certain area. If you were there, you know what I'm talking about. And then we were able to link those guys up with main fleet, achieve an objective, and then bounce down to Afghanistan. And again, the irregular sort of built up a layup, and the enemy didn't expect that we were going to do what we were doing, because it looked like it was just irregulars. And then bam, Mr. V dropped on them. So it was good shit. Yeah, it is a long fireside because I finally had a chance to sit back and think about things and go through questions. So I wanted to give you guys a chance. All right, I need to put my suit on for the show. He is right. Okay, guys, we are going to get ready for the meta show. Thank you for coming. And again, the struggle continues. We have the entire galaxy to defeat. Let's get back out there. Thanks for coming.